Thank you for listening to the Pursuit Church podcast. This is more than a podcast. Pursuit Church is a movement to connect to Jesus and make a difference. If you need prayer or would like to financially support our mission, reach out to us online at pursuitchurchsa.com. Now grab your headphones and get ready to dive into this week's message.
Good morning. Welcome to church. You know, today is the last Sunday of September. I can't even believe that. Like, tomorrow the month is done. We're done. And it's been a really special month for us here at Pursuit Church. It's like JoJo said earlier, September is a great month for us. For one thing, it's our birthday month. You know, we started September, I think it was the 19th, 3 years ago. And here we are, still going for Jesus. So September's a great month. Yeah, that's worth clapping for. You know, we kicked it off with a 30-day challenge. And we challenged you to do some things for 30 days just to help you draw closer to God. Because you know what? The direction of your life is determined by what you look at, what you listen to, and how you spend your time. So we challenged everyone here to read your Bible daily. Fill your mind. Look at the Word of God. And instead of just listening to any old kind of music, listen to worship music, exclusively worship music. Because when you do that, you'll see how it's encouraging and it starts to build your faith. And then we challenged y'all to come to church every Sunday. Spend your Sunday morning here experiencing this community. And you know why? Because we know that if you'll do that, you'll see how truly special it is to be in a place filled with people who love Jesus, who are just doing their best to follow God with their whole heart. Just regular people, which is regular people here, trying to do what God has called us to do, to pursue Him and love each other. And I hope y'all got in on that challenge. I hope you did. Because if you want a better life, you got to do things differently. Can't keep doing the same thing. And remember, the direction of your life is determined by what you look at, what you listen to, and where you spend your time. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's no better way to spend your time than being in God's house, this church, on a Sunday morning. This is a community, y'all. You know, you got your little communities here and there, you know, like your friends over here, your friend. No. This is God's community. We're not just another group hanging out. No, we got purpose here. You can hang out anywhere with anyone. The church, this church, is the community that God gave us. And guys, the church is going to last forever. You see, God knew we all need a place where we can fit in, where we feel like we belong, a community to be part of. And He wanted us to be part of His community, His family. And see, here's the deal. The only way to be part of God's family is through Jesus. So God gave us the church. Did you know that if it weren't for the church, there'd be no way to share the gospel of Jesus Christ? His message would have ended when He died, but it didn't. If it weren't for the church, there would be no place for you to bring your kids, your babies, your loved ones, your little ones, so they could learn about Jesus and actually experience His love through the people in there teaching them about Him. There'd be no place for us to learn biblical principles so that we could impact our culture for God. The church is God's gift to us, and it's meant to last for eternity. If you're a follower of Jesus, let me just tell you this. When we die, we're taking this party to heaven. It ain't over. It ain't over. And I really hope you're starting to see how impactful and how special this church really is. This is a place for real healing. Not that Band-Aid stuff. The debris, the wound kind of stuff. Real healing. This is a place where when you need hope, you find it right here in the message of Jesus Christ. And this church is a community. It's a place where we can experience life together and we can experience life-changing generosity and build a legacy for your family and for generations to come. I love my church. I love my church. I hope you love your church too. Amen. Yes. Get some water here. I don't know why I put the lid on this thing. Mess me up. You know, when I was a little girl, I had a great aunt. It's hard for me to say the word aunt, y'all, because I'm from East Texas, and we say aunt. I know that's East Texas, but it is what it is. So she was my great Aunt Ellen. And she was my grandmother's sister, which means she was born back in the 1920s. And you know, when she was born, she had some issues with her birth. And medical care back then wasn't what it is now. So she was left with some cognitive deficiencies, which basically meant her whole life she was going to be depending on someone else to take care of her. Right? And she could take care of herself. I mean, she went to school, but she only made it through the sixth grade. She wasn't going to have an independent life. And so she lived with her parents until they died. And then after her parents died, she went to live with my grandmother. Well, when my grandmother died, see, my Aunt Ellen, she outlived everybody. She did. She lived to be 92 years old. So when my grandma died, she went to go live in a nursing facility. Now, we didn't leave her there. We went to visit her. You can ask my girls. They love to go spend time with Aunt Ellen. But anyway, that might seem like a sad life. But that's only if we're looking at it through our own perspective. See, God sees things differently than we do. His vision is limitless, y'all. He sees tomorrow. He knows how things are going to play out. So he's already working on our future. Even before you were born, God was already working things out. Think about that. That's how infinite he is. And you know, my Aunt Ellen was born with a condition that, man, that looked like she was going to live a narrow life. It was going to be hopeless, right? She never got married. She never was able to have children of her own. But God had a plan for her life despite the circumstances of her birth. You know, he put a desire in my Aunt Ellen to have children. And you know what? He gave her children. He gave her children to love and to nurture and to care for, because you know what? She helped raise and love three generations of kids in my family. Yeah, I'm talking about my mom, my aunt, my uncle, first cousins, second cousins, third cousins coming out of the East Piney Woods, cousins everywhere, me, my brother, my nephew, and my daughters, generations. But God didn't stop there, y'all. My Aunt Ellen died when she was 92, but over the span of about 75 years of her life, she loved and cared for generations in our family and other kids too, in her community and in her church. You know, I honestly believe with all my heart that God set that up, y'all. He doesn't waste anything. God's economy, he doesn't waste anything. He knew that my family was going to be a bunch of feral people. He knew we needed Aunt Ellen in our life. You know why? Because she was a prayer warrior. She was a mighty woman of God. She might have had a simple mentality, but she knew about Jesus, y'all. And she would charge the gates of hell on our behalf. I'm telling you that. She was a true follower of Jesus, and we knew that through how she lived her life. She was deeply involved in her church. She loved her church. She and my grandma had this big old Cadillac. Back then, it was like a boat, and the horn sounded like a train. I'm not even kidding you. They would get in that big old Cadillac, drive right down the middle of the road to Cedar Bayou Baptist Church, and they were there every week, every Sunday, Wednesday. And you know what? Not only that, my Aunt Ellen was involved. She was involved in kids' ministry and even hospitality for decades. And she was a giver. She lived on a little fixed income, but she tithed faithfully. And she was generous with us kids. I mean, she'd have a lot. Every Christmas, she gave us something. And even sometimes, we'd just come around, she'd give us something. I remember going to Dairy Queen in Baytown, Texas, and my grandma driving that boat. And we would all go to Dairy Queen. You know who paid for it? My Aunt Ellen. She was generous. She had a generous heart, and she had a legacy mindset. She cared about the generations coming up behind her. She loved us. She prayed for us, and she did her part to make sure that we knew who Jesus was. And I'm going to tell you right now, there are preachers, there are worshipers, givers, prayer warriors, people walking in their God-given calling right now, in part because of the seeds of encouragement and excellence my Aunt Ellen sowed in them. Seeds of greatness. Wow. Her life was a testimony to the goodness and the faithfulness of God. And it is so beautiful being part of her legacy. Amen. Not just me, but my girls, my grandkids, and y'all. Y'all are part of our legacy. Hello. We are all reaping a harvest from the seeds of greatness my Aunt Ellen sowed. You see, I don't think she knew it at the time, but deep down inside, she had to have understood that a relationship with Jesus, being a Christian, starts with a personal relationship with Jesus, but it's never meant to stop there. Friends, God is about multiplication. He don't do addition, so he multiplies. And sometimes he divides to multiply. But God is all about multiplication. And he gave us the church to do that, to be discipled and to make disciples. If you look at the book of Acts, it tells us that Jesus died. He shed his blood. He died for the church. That was the plan. That was the plan. God wanted to reach the world, and he wants to do it through the church. And guess what? We're the church. We, us, me, y'all, all of us, all y'all, collectively, us together, we are the church. And I love the book of Acts because it is literally the book that tells how the church got started. And if you read through the book of Acts, you're going to see over and over and over that the church was growing. It was meant to grow. It says it was adding to its numbers daily. Growing in its influence, growing in its reach. The purpose was the same back then as it is right now. We are called to build God's church, y'all. But building takes resources. So in order to build his church, we need to develop generous hearts and a legacy mindset. Now notice I said develop. That means it's something we're going to have to learn. It doesn't come natural. We have to develop it if we're ever going to be able to build the church. And there's a couple of things that you need to understand about generosity. First of all, generosity is personal. It's personal. Look at what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2:9. Y'all bring y'all's paper Bibles today? The internet goes down. What you going to do if you don't got your paper Bible? 2 Corinthians, New Testament. 2 Corinthians 9:7. This is what the Apostle Paul said. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Notice, Paul starts off with those words, each one. Generosity is personal. It's what you decide to do with the resources that God has given you. And God has all given us resources and gifts. He has. God has gifted you. He has gifted you in tremendous ways. You're breathing right now because God gave you that air in your lungs. Yeah? Every single person in this room is a recipient of the gifts that come from God. Look at your life. Think about your life. Think about your sketchy life, BC, before Jesus, before Christ. Think about it. How many times did God save you from something? I can tell you about some times back in Northside, Houston, Texas. But anyway, how many times did God save you from something bad? And you know what? Look, even if you can't think of anything right now, I'm going to tell you right now, he did. God saved you from something that you don't even know about. Because he protected you. You've been given gifts from God. God is generous. And remember, we're created in his image, so he wants us to be generous too. And he knows it's not natural for us. I mean, come on, look at two toddlers. You let Mari and Shiloh get together, it won't be long before they're like, it's mine, me, give it to me, it's mine. We're not naturally generous. We're not born that way. So guess what? God gave us his word to teach us how to become generous, how to develop a heart of generosity. And God understands something that we need to understand. Generosity is different for each one of us. What I give may not look like what you give. That's okay. Generosity is personal. However, generosity is not optional. It's not optional. me tell you something. God will hold us all accountable for what we did give and then what we withheld. Look at what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one, that means every one of us, may receive what is due for what we've done in this body. In other words, while we walk this earth, whether it's good or bad. You know, I remember coming up as a kid here and there, hearing, you know, the old Baptist Pentecostal preachers preach that verse in a kind of a turn or burn, get right or get left way. And that's not altogether accurate, y'all. This verse is saying that the day is coming when God is going to ask you to give an accounting of every single thing he gave you. Your time, your talents, your skill set, and your money. He's not going to ask you about what your family did, what your mama did, what Ray Ray and them did. No, no, no. He's not worried about that. He's going to ask you. He's going to ask me. Give me an accounting of what you did with what I gave you. God knows generosity is personal, but it's not optional. The other thing about generosity is it's purposeful. Remember, when God blesses us, it's so that we can be a blessing to others. This worship team blessed my heart this morning. Major talent. Major hearts for Jesus. That was a blessing. They are sharing their gifts, their talents, and their time because they had to practice. Everybody's got to practice. They had to practice. So they're giving that to us. That's being a blessing. Remember, everything God does is purposeful. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians 9:7. Paul said that each one is to give as he has purposed in his heart. Notice, he says it's a decision, it's intentional, and starts in the heart. Let me tell you something about the Christian life. Every single part of the Christian life involves purpose, and most of it is a matter of the heart. Most of it, if not all of it, is a matter of the heart. Tell you what I'm talking about. When you got saved, when you gave your life to Jesus, you made an on-purpose decision to accept Jesus into your life, into your heart as your Savior. And then everything from that point forward, it all requires intentionality. Doing things on purpose, making sure that you're still following Jesus with the decisions you make, with the things you do. And this goes for every single area of your life, including generosity. We're not born generous. So if you really want to follow Jesus with your whole heart, you've got to make an on-purpose decision to be a giver, to be generous with your time, your talents, and your treasure. That's your money, your stuff. Developing a generous heart requires intentionality. So generosity itself is purposeful. Look at Matthew 6:21. This is Jesus talking to us. Matthew 6:21, it says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." If you want to know where your heart is, look at your bank account. Look at your credit card statements. Where's your money going? You need to know. You need to pay attention to that because Jesus says that wherever you're spending your money, that's what you value. That's where your heart is. And if you're not investing some of your money in God's church, then it's simply because you don't value it. Your heart's not here. I didn't say that. Jesus did. I'm not trying to guilt anybody here. It's not about that. God don't need your money. I don't need your money. It's not about that. It's not about guilt. But here's the deal. Sometimes we don't realize the implications of what we're doing or what we're not doing. So we need someone who loves us enough to speak truth with a capital T, truth, to speak truth into our lives. That's my job, y'all. That's what I do up here. It's really simple. If you want to develop a heart of generosity, You have to start looking at things from God's perspective. From His perspective, the church is a big deal. The church means something to God. Think about your children. Think about your precious babies. You love them, right? Now maybe you got teenagers. Go back to remember when they were little. Think about your babies, right? Like, you love your children. We would roll up on somebody for them kids, right? Well, guess what? Jesus is God's son. That's His baby. We don't think about it like that, y'all. God loved His son. He had one son, a perfect baby. He didn't have colic. He wasn't gnarly, foaming at the mouth teenager. No. Jesus was perfect. God loved Him. But you know what He did? He sent His precious son to the cross to die for us so that we could be part of God's community, part of His church. I need to say something here. Oh, Lord, give me the right words. So, don't criticize the church. Don't do that, y'all. Don't do that. I know, some people might have gotten hurt. I get that. Don't criticize the church, y'all. That's a dangerous thing to do. Because the church belongs to God. He sent His son to die for it. And these people that are sitting next to you, we're the church. Yeah, the church is a place, but it's a place where God's people are. And every single person who's been washed in the blood of Jesus, who's a born-again believer, they belong to God. The church is God's, and He's not okay with us criticizing it. We got to love the church, y'all. You can't say you love Jesus if you don't love His church. That's a fact. They're not separable. We got to love the church. We got to protect the church. We got to provide for the church. God could do it, but He wants to use us to do it. God uses people to fulfill His purpose. That's the way He made us. So we got to develop a heart of generosity for each other and for this church. And it starts with taking little steps. Look at your spending habits. How many of those trips to Starbucks or those Chick-fil-A, McDonald runs can you do without? I know we get in a hurry. Put some snacks in your purse. I am the snack queen. You want something to eat? Go get in my purse. I don't even like those little clutchy things. They ain't got no room for snacks. Take some snacks. Feed them babies or whatever you want to feed them. You don't have to go through McDonald's. It's not even good for them. Look at how you're living. Are you living below your means? People say, I'm not trying to get in your business, but I kind of am. So are you living below your means? People say, oh, you should live within your means. How about you think about living below your means? I remember when Pastor Bob and I bought our first home, the loan officer said, oh, well, you're qualified for this. And I was like, we looked at each other and we're like, we ain't doing that. We bought a cheaper house. We ain't doing that. We needed margin in our life. We didn't ever want to have to be put in a position where we had to consider not tithing because we had no margin. We were house poor. If you're not already living from a generous heart, where can you make little changes now so you can start honoring God through your finances? Think about it. And I promise you this, you cannot outgive God. You start living a life of generosity and God's going to honor that and He's going to blow it up. He will make a way for you to be even more generous. When we first got married, we paid our tithes, but that was about it. That's about all we had. We had all them teenagers in that house eating up all the food, and they brought their friends to eat up all our food. That's another sermon. We could pay tithes. We didn't have extra forgiving, but we wanted to. Pastor Bob and I always wanted to. I remember one time, preacher back in Houston, Pastor Brett, he preached a sermon, and he told about this guy who wrote this. We were in the Capitol campaign then trying to get more seats for the church to make room, and he said, oh, there's this guy who just wrote out a $50,000 check, and I thought, man, I want to be able to do that one day. I wanted to give more. Pastor Bob wanted to give more, and God knew that. He knew our hearts. So somewhere along the way, I can't even tell you when it happened. I don't even remember how it happened. We just started taking people from church to coffee, to lunch, listening to them, praying for them. And somewhere, we always paid. I don't know where we got that money. And we just kept doing it over and over, over time. And I knew that we got the money because God was making a way for us to be more generous in our giving. And it's because we wanted to. We wanted to. When you show God that you can be trusted with money, he'll make a way for you to be even more generous. And you know what? He'll change your heart along the way. You'll start seeing the value of your dollar in a totally different way. It's like this. You know, you find out here at church, somebody here is, you know, they're kind of going through something. They're struggling in something. And so invite them to coffee. Sit down with them. Listen to them. Speak God's truth over their life. Encourage them with the word of God and pray with them. You keep doing that over time, you're going to see something in your heart is going to start to shift. It's because you're seeing through your spiritual eyes the impact of your time and your money when you sow it into God's purposes. You'll see how your generosity in the little things can actually change lives. If you start rearranging some things in your life and you make some room to invest in God's kingdom, you'll find out just how generous God is and how generous you can be too. Proverbs 22:9 says that a generous person is going to be blessed. It's a fact. Remember during COVID when all the businesses were shut down? I mean, you couldn't even go to the doctor. Everything was shut down. The stores were shut down. HEB wasn't shut down. But, I mean, you know, like the restaurants, the stores, Ross and Burlington, they were all shut down, right? Schools, even the churches. Well, you know what? Pastor Bob and I were allowed to keep our business going. It's because housing is an essential service. You need somewhere to live, right? But what's interesting about that is even in the middle of a lockdown, we were super busy. That was actually our best year ever. And you know, Pastor Bob and I, we don't blow money when we make it. I mean, we're in real estate. Come on, man, you never know what the market's going to do. We have to save it. We stretch it. We make it work. We don't just blow our money. So we didn't spend all that money. We spent what we need. We saved the rest. Well, by July of 2020, we had been so busy, we didn't even realize that we had some good money saved up. But what's interesting about that is we didn't even think about it. We didn't even make plans for any of that money. We just kind of let it sit there. But then guess what? Late August 2020, God told us, now I want you to plant that church. See, in 2013, God had already put it in our hearts to plant. But we didn't really know what that meant. 2020, God told us now. Middle of the lockdown, God told us now. You know why? Because he gave us all that business because he had a plan for that money. He knew he could trust us. He knew we were going to use that to build his kingdom. And I'm not saying it to brag. I'm saying it to brag on God. Trust him. He is so faithful and so generous. Developing a heart of generosity is something only you can do. You're going to have to decide that you want to do it. And you're probably going to have to make some changes in how you spend your money. Start looking at where you're spending your money. Rearrange some things. Make some room. Let's talk about tithing. I don't like preaching on tithing, but I'm going there. You know what? I will go there. Pastor, you come with me. You're going to get a little bit more. So if you're not tithing, you need to start there. Just do it now. Start right now where you are. You need to tithe, friend. God doesn't need your tithe. You need to tithe. Yes. Amen. There's only one place in the Bible where God says, test him. He says, don't be messing with him. Don't be testing him. But in Malachi 3:10, he says, test him. And that involves tithing. God said, bring me your first fruits. I don't want the leftovers. I'm not a waitress. Don't be trying to tip me. Bring me your first fruits, things that I've given you. Bring it to me and see if I don't just blow open the windows of heaven, pour out a blessing on you so much so that you can't even contain it all. That's what God says. You need to tithe. There's a blessing attached to it. And I'm going to promise you right now, that blessing is not just money. If you hear me and all you hear is, oh, I want a blessing of money, you're missing it, guys. Blessings are joy, peace, contentment. Being able to come to church with your family, that's a blessing. Things are going to start working out for you instead of coming up against you when you put God first. And it's because you honored him with your first fruits. And I know Old Testament law says the tithe. The tithe is 10%. That's Old Testament law. But guess what? Jesus came to fulfill the law. He took care of the law for you. And Jesus didn't give us a number. He said, just decide. Decide what you're going to give. And then give it consistently from what you make before you spend any of it. In other words, put God first and do it all the time. And the reason is because where you spend your money is what you value the most. And God wants you to value him the most. I know sometimes you may not think you have enough money to tithe. I went through that. I was a single mom, y'all. I was a single mom, and my baby daddy was not. I was having to pay for everything. And I didn't think I could afford to tithe, but I tested him in that. And I've not looked back. God will meet you where you are, but you got to start. If you don't think you have enough money, ask yourself this. What is one thing you can stop wasting your money on so that you can start investing in God's house? What is one thing? And I did say wasting, and I meant that. Because whatever you're spending money on, if it isn't about God's business, it's a waste because it does not have an eternal impact. That is true. That's right. The church exists to make an eternal impact in people's lives. Right. So when you invest here, you're investing in something that's going to impact others forever. Amen. Forever. Yes. God has given us this beautiful place to be able to share the gospel and to literally be the hands and feet of Jesus. But we got to pay the rent. We got a light bill. We got to keep the bathroom stocked. And every single one of those things is making a kingdom impact. People are coming in here every Sunday. Lives are being saved, transformed, and changed. So if you're not tithing into this house, you're missing a chance to impact someone's eternity. And I need you to tell me, what is more important than that? And you know, maybe tithing's a new concept to you. I get it. I know some of y'all come from a religious background where they didn't really tell you about the tithe. They used to be Catholic. They didn't talk about tithing. I get that. So maybe you don't understand the importance of it all. Or maybe you got some bills you've already committed your money to. You didn't really know about tithing. And you know, you got a mortgage. You got a car payment. I get it. So how about this? Look at your income and then look at your have-to-pay bills, you know, like housing, food, transportation, and then ask God to give you creativity, to show you ways you can cut back. My dad used to always say, turn the lights off if you're not in the room. I understand now why. Pastor Bobby leaving every light on in the house. I'm like, come on, man. Why you leave the TV on? We're not even home. I'm all that mess coming up in my house. Turn that off. He's like, it's just ESPN. I don't care. I'm tired of CPS. You know what? My little granddaughter, Avi, she said, Nani, why do you leave the water running when you brush your teeth? I'm like, because I can. But then I started getting these saws bills, and I was like, hold up, wait a minute. I'm not paying them people in that big old fancy Taj Mahal they got over there on wherever it's at to just be wasting. No, I'd rather spend that money on taking some of y'all to dinner than giving it to saws. Developing a heart of generosity starts with a decision that you want to do it because you want to obey God with all of your life. So just go to God. Ask him show me God, where am I putting my money? And then ask him to give you creativity. Because you know what? The Bible says the little foxes spoil the vineyard. Those little things that you're spending your money on, they're putting you in a position where you don't think you can tithe. Maybe you don't want to tithe. Once you do that, just start giving. Just start. I'm not talking about tipping. I'm talking about sacrificial giving. That means it's something that's going to stretch your faith. That's the sacrifice. And it's not going to be the same for all of us. God's okay with that. He's not into equal amounts. God is into equal sacrifice. So for some of you guys, yeah, that's worth clapping at because God knows. He knows us. You know, some people, you can give 10%. Sacrifice is giving 10% of your paycheck. For other people, it may be 3%. Decide in your heart, what's the sacrifice for you? Generosity is personal. Decide and then start and then be consistent. Make it a priority, y'all. Every time you get that paycheck, set aside whatever percent you decided on and sow it into God's house. If you do that, something weird is going to happen. Something really cool is going to happen. You're going to start to notice, hey, I can give 10%. It's because God will make a way because he sees your heart behind it. And then by the time you get up to that 10% mark, something else is going to happen that's really strange. You're going to find yourself looking for ways to give more. It's because you're starting to see giving as something you get to do, not something you have to do. And God will give you more because he knows he can trust you with it. He'll know that you're going to spend that extra on his purposes. He doesn't need your money, and God wants us to enjoy life. Please know that. He doesn't want us to be poor. No, that's not his heart at all. I mean, God blesses us, but he blesses us to be a blessing. And I need to tell you this. Don't get bogged down on whether you should tithe off of your gross income versus your net income. That's legalistic. And remember, Jesus fulfilled the law. Just decide and then give. The second thing you need to know is this is not a give to get situation. I'm not talking about, oh, I'm going to give and God's going to get. No, no, and no. This is a heart posture. This is a heart posture of wanting to honor God because he has been so good to you. When you start giving consistently, you're going to see it as something you get to do. And that's what it means by having a glad heart. And the more you do that, you'll develop a generous heart. And a generous heart leads to legacy mindset, y'all. You won't look at serving or tithing as something you're doing for God or even the church or the pastors. You'll see how honored you are that God called you to this house, that he gave you the talents you have, and that he's always provided for you. And you'll want to share that with others. And you won't be expecting anything in return. You'll see this church, the people sitting next to you, as a precious treasure that God intentionally put in your life so you could bless them. Because that's what he did. And then you're going to start to understand that God really is your source. You know, being a follower of Jesus means you're moving, right? If you're following somebody, you're moving, right? You're moving usually behind them. So as a follower of Jesus, we're moving, but we got to start somewhere. You know, when you start following Jesus, when you first give your life to Jesus, you're what we call a baby Christian. It's because you don't know some things yet. You need to learn. You need to be taught, right? But we're not supposed to stay there. There's no baby born, you know, that stayed there. That's not God's intention. We're not supposed to stay as a baby Christian. We need to keep moving because that means we're following Jesus. We're growing in our faith. But here's the deal. Sometimes Christians, they just don't grow. They'll grow in one area, but they don't grow in another area. They're stagnated and they get stuck, and it's because there's something they're not going to want to let go of. I've seen this before. People serve in the church, they give, and they're doing it because they expect something in return. They don't necessarily realize it, but it always comes out. It always comes out. You let something happen, and they're upset. I've done this. You didn't do that for me. You did that for God. That's a baby Christian mindset, y'all. It's okay if you're a baby Christian, but if you're following Jesus, he's trying to lead you out of that. He's trying to lead you away from that kind of thinking. So he'll give you a message to hear about it. Or maybe you'll be reading the Bible and you'll see a scripture that deals with that. Or maybe someone will speak truth to you about this kind of area. Because Jesus is trying to lead you out of that kind of thinking. But you have to follow. Jesus wants you to get beyond that thinking and develop a generous heart. Because if you stay there, that's going to lead to offense. It always does. It always leads to offense. You know, Joyce Meyer, I don't know if y'all know who she is, but I used to read a lot of her books when I first came to Jesus. She's just such a real raw lady, man. Anyway, she told a story one time about this lady in the church, and the lady was super offended with Joyce. And Joyce didn't know. The lady was offended because she felt like Joyce should have treated her some kind of way because the lady had been serving and giving faithfully in the church for so long. But Joyce didn't even know that. She didn't know the lady felt like that. She only found out when the lady left the church. So Joyce started praying about it, and she talked about how God told her. Well, she asked God, "Why did you let that happen, Lord? I didn't even do anything wrong here. Why did you let that lady get so offended and leave the church?" And then God told her, "Hey, Joyce, that lady had a problem with rejection. I'm trying to heal her of that. I'm trying to lead her out of that." He intentionally hid that woman from Joyce because he didn't want Joyce to get involved. He knew that if Joyce Meyer got involved, she'd try to make the lady feel better, feel appreciated. And that would have stopped what God was trying to do in that woman's life. Friend, it doesn't matter how much time or money you sow into the house of God, if you are doing it to get recognition, to feel appreciated. I say this with all due respect. You need to check your heart. I mean, you know, we've all gone through that. Just check your heart. God wants us to be cheerful givers, to give from a heart of generosity, because he knows that a heart of generosity leads to a legacy mindset. And God is into legacy. He has plans for this generation, but he also has plans for future generations. You know, my aunt, she wasn't a wealthy woman. She never owned a home. She never had anything. She lived on disability her entire life. She wasn't the smartest person in the room, but she never let any of that stop her from being a blessing to God and to others. And Ellen blessed generations in our family, in her church, and she blessed people for decades. You know, in her church, she served in kids, and she'd sit there and clean them duty diapers, sang "Jesus Loves Me." She'd wipe snotty noses and serve Kool-Aid and cookies. She never expected anything in return. And she tithed on what she did have. Was she the biggest giver in the church? Nah. But she understood. I don't think she realized it, but she understood that Kool-Aids and cookies cost money, and she wanted to bless those babies. That is what a heart of generosity looks like, y'all. And that is a legacy mindset. You know, John 15:13 is such a beautiful scripture. It says, "Greater love has no one than this, that they would lay down his life for his friends." That's not just talking about death. That's dying to yourself. I love this verse. It so beautifully and succinctly describes the church that Jesus died for. It describes this church, Pursuit Church, y'all. Jesus showed his great love for us when he gave up his life on the cross. He knew it wasn't the end, though. He knew that. Satan didn't know that. Satan thought he'd won. Even the followers of Jesus at the time, they thought the same thing. This is over. But God had a plan. He saw you way back then. God had a plan.
He had a plan for your future. He had a plan for your children's future, your future children, grandchildren. He had a plan for every single person in this room. It was not over at the cross. It was just beginning. God never stops short of what he's doing. He finishes what he starts. The sole purpose of the church is to be the hands and feet of Jesus and to spread his beautiful, redeeming message, y'all. God gave us the church. He wants us to spread the message of hope to the hopeless. Healing that's only found in Jesus. That Jesus heals the brokenhearted. He can break an addiction. The church is God's plan for us to have a community where we can love people and we can be loved. I'm not talking about that fake love of the world. I'm talking about real, genuine love. The kind of love that reaches out to you when you're starting to go in a different direction and tells you, hey, friend, hey, turn around, man. You don't want to go there. That's going to lead you to pain. The kind of love that stands by you when you're mourning, when you're suffering some kind of injustice. They're there for you. The church is so precious and it is so powerful, y'all. It never has failed and it never will fail. So we gotta see it for what it really is. This is a place to belong. This is a place where you can find your real purpose in life. And this is a place where we get to share our blessings with others. Our time, our talent, our treasure. And this is a place to build a godly legacy for generations to come. I love my church, and I pray that you do too. Let me pray for us. Oh, Lord, I love you so much. I'm so thankful for your presence. I'm so thankful that you saw us. And you've got a plan for every one of us, Lord. Thank you for this beautiful church that you've given us. Father, thank you for these people that you brought into your house. Lord, bless them in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that you are opening up our eyes right now and showing us ways that we can be a blessing as a way to say, thank you, God, for what you gave me. Lord, I pray that you just renew a determination in our hearts to protect your church, to provide for your church, to love your church. Lord, I pray that if there's somebody here who's been hurt in the church, that you bring healing to that you open up their eyes and let them see that this is just a hospital. We're all broken and we're all going to make mistakes. We all fall short and we need a Savior. Lord, let forgiveness rise up in their heart right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I stand against the spirit of offense, a spirit of rejection. I stand against that in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, let a spirit of humility fall upon every single one of us so that we're able to release some things and just drop it at your feet, Father. Bless your people. And Lord, I pray that this word will sink deep into our hearts and that we'll walk out of here different because of the power of your word. Thank you, Father. We love you. We bless your holy name in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, let's just stay in this moment right now. Keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed, please, if you will. If you have never... Maybe if you never heard a message like this and you didn't really connect the dots, but you feel something moving in your spirit right now, y'all, that's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit calling you. Even if you don't even know what it is to be a Christian, you've heard about Jesus, but you never really knew. If that's you and you want to know more, you want to surrender your life to him, you know that you need him in your life, if that's you right now, you have a chance to do that. All you have to do is pray a simple prayer, mean it with your whole heart, and Jesus will come into your life and change you, save you, and wash you in his blood. If that's you, just repeat after me, and I ask other believers to pray as well, just to encourage anyone here today who is making a decision to follow Jesus. Just pray, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart. Wash me clean. I make you my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to clap. Let's clap. Heaven says that, the Bible says that all of heaven rejoices when one person turns their life over to Jesus. So that's why we clap.
Amen.
And you know, if you prayed that prayer, we believe that you've been saved and born again. So we don't want you to leave here today without knowing what your next steps are. And there's someone in the back that has a little booklet for you to tell you what are your next steps as you walk out this new life in Christ. And if you need prayer for anything, they're there to pray for you that as well.
Amen. Wow. Now, this is why you know why I give her all the hard ones and I take the cupcakes. No. What a phenomenal word today. Come on. What a phenomenal word about how the church is a place that we get to develop a heart of generosity and a legacy mindset. You see, God is, in fact, a very generous God, but he's also a generational God. And that means he's always looking for what's next. God's looking for what's next in your life, in the life of your family, and in the life of his church. You know, over the past 3 years, Pursuit, God has just had his hand on this church, and we've grown, and things have just progressed to the point where God's laid it on our hearts first that he has something next for this church. He has a next place for this church. You see, we've loved all the time that we've been in here so far, and we're going to love the time that we're still here. But there's areas like our kids' ministry where, you know, we started with babies, and now those babies, guess what, are growing up. So, one, we're going to need a place now that has more space for those kids. We're going to need we've got youth. You know, when we started this, the church didn't really have any, you know, say 10, 12 on up. Now we have those kids here. We need to have a place now that they'll be able to hang out and have age-appropriate worship. And we need more classroom space for our kids. So, and also, you know, our food pantry, you know, we need a bigger kitchen. I'm just telling you, you know, we've been doing a phenomenal job. Our team here has been doing a phenomenal job of the food pantry now for 3 years. We've fed over 3,000 people in that time. Can we just thank God for that?
That's amazing. That's such
absolutely amazing. But we believe God wants us to do more. To do more. And so, with just under 2 years left on the current lease that we have here, God just really planted in our hearts it was time to start thinking about what's next. And so this summer, after Pastor Kanter and I hashed it out, prayed about it, we got our executive team involved, and for 21 days we fasted this summer. We said, God, what is it that you want to do? Not what we want to do. Not what we want to do. What do you want to do? And God clearly showed us, get ready for the next. And the next, my friends, begins right now. It's time to plan for the future of Pursuit Church, because we believe that God has big things in store for this people and this church. Yes, to do, for him to do incredible things.
You know, we're thankful for what God has already done. And we're not saying that. I'm just going to interrupt.
Yeah. No.
We're thankful for what he's already done. But we know he has more because he's progressive. You know, we
absolutely
put some visuals up there for you to see, to let you see in your natural what we're thinking about, what God is showing us in the supernatural. And I just want you to look at these pictures and see it, because this is what we're praying for. This is what we're believing
absolutely
for. This is what we need.
You know, God has actually, even before this, there's been some people in our church that have come to us actually before all this and said, hey, we believe God has more. And you know, we want to write that check.
Yeah.
And we've had a few people do that. And so we actually, at that point, actually just started putting that money aside and opened up a separate account. But now We want to get everybody involved in this thing called Next Begins Now. That's right. We're all going to do what we can. So here's what we're saying. Over the next 24 months, we're going to raise at least $250,000. Come on.
We're believing more.
That's a floor, because I don't ever want to limit God.
That's right.
You know what? I just say this because in all sincerity, I don't ever want to limit God. I was listening to a pastor that we were at a conference not too long ago. And he shared that they were actually in a capital campaign to build a building, right? They were trying to raise like $10 million, okay? So, okay, great, fantastic. But he shared that one day, this little old lady just showed up at their office.
She didn't even go to their church.
No, she didn't even go to their church, but she showed up with her accountant. And he said, you know, when that happened, you probably knew it was going to be a good day, right? But what he shared was his grandma, her grandson went to the church there. And her grandma had seen the impact that this church had had on him. And she said, I want to invest in that. She wrote the church a check for $1.7 million. I'm just saying, I'm saying 250. I might not even be thinking big enough to be, I don't want to limit God. I believe there's somebody in here that might write a check for $1 million. I don't know. Or somebody you know. I don't know. I don't know where the $250,000 or more is coming from, other than how God's going to pour it into you, and then the heart of generosity is going to pour into what He wants to do. Why is $250,000 the number? Well, that's the minimum. About 3 years ago, just to give you some context, we spent about $100,000 to renovate this place that God gave us. And believe me, let me just echo what Pastor Karen's already said. We are so grateful. We are so grateful to God that He's given us this beautiful place. And we're grateful to so many here who have already sown into making that a possibility, right? You know, we said this from the beginning. Most churches don't get to start in a place like this. Most churches start in a cafeteria, a living room, a school, a movie theater. That's just a fact. That's where most churches start. God blessed us to start here. And I don't ever want to take that for granted or in any way not be thankful to God what He's done and for what He's going to continue to do here for the remaining time that we're here. I believe God's going to keep doing amazing things. But we also believe that He has amazing things for our future.
We're asking you to consider two things today.
Two things.
First, if you're not tithing and giving into this church, then start. We're just asking you to start. Consistently start giving every paycheck and pray and decide in your heart what you're going to give. Make sure it's a sacrifice. And then whatever amount that is for you to start tithing, give that and give it every time you get paid. And this is going to help us meet the current needs of the church that we have right now. Things like rent, utilities, supplies, music licenses. There's all kinds of things that we have right now. So if you're not tithing, start with that.
And then here's the second thing that we're asking. For you to prayerfully consider what it is that God's calling you to contribute to the Next Begins Now campaign. Prayerfully consider that. Go to God so that He can show you what He's calling you to contribute, to invest over these next 24 months for the next place that God has. You know, it's much like Abraham. God said, Abraham, get ready to go. I'm not going to tell you exactly where, but Abraham said, yes, God, I'll go. Very similar to what we're talking about. Do we know the exact location? No, but God does. We believe that with all of our heart. God knows exactly what He has next for us. And we want to be ready when He says go. Just like Pastor Karen and I tried to prepare ourselves so when God said go back in August of 2020, we could say, yes, God, we'll go. We want to be able to do that
so
as a church.
Start tithing.
Here's the thing. We need everybody. We're inviting everybody to be a part of this. Let me just show you, for example, what the power of everybody collectively doing things. Let's say that someone says, I'll contribute $25 a week for these next 2 years. $25 a week. Can we skip a Starbucks? Can we not go to McDonald's one time? Whatever. Pastor Karen so beautifully outlined. What does that look like? It's $25 a week extra above beyond the tithe. And you did that for 24 months. You would have contributed $2,600 toward that goal of $250. Guess what? If 100 people in our church did that, 2 years from now, we'd have $260,000 in the bank.
Yeah.
I want to show you this is, and we believe there's many people that will be, God's going to lay on your heart to do much more than that. But I want to show you the power of community, that pulling together, that all of us contributing, God can do some incredible things with that.
Yeah. He'll provide you the resources you need.
That's right. Just like Pastor Karen said, we believe that as you let God develop in you that heart of generosity, He's going to provide. And this is not a give to get. That's just because the kind of God we serve. He just loves you that much.
Give you a seed to invest.
He will give you a seed
and then you invest.
To invest. So on the screen are three ways. If you want to begin that contribution journey today, for the next begins now. There's a way for you to do that. Or if you just want to give your regular tithes and offerings that we value so and God values so much, on your screen there are three ways to do that. Also in the seat back in front of you, there are envelopes if you want to do that way. Here's what I'd say though, from now all the way for these next 24 months, every portion that you want to invest into the next begins now, please notate that in the memo section. I know on our website on Tithely, there's an option you can choose that actually says building fund, capital campaign. So definitely choose that. Or on your Venmo, make sure you put in the notes section, capital campaign or next begins now, so that we know what to do with those particular funds and put them in the right account, because we do have a separate account just for that. So just make sure we're on your envelope. Again, whatever portion you want to go to the next begins now, please notate that.
I need to say one last thing. I said it before, I'm going to say it again. God doesn't need your money.
Come on.
He wants to use your gifts to build His kingdom. That's
right.
This is about. This is kingdom building that we're doing. And I want to say this. We don't take a salary from this church. We're not in it for the money. We're in it for souls, because God has shown us how important every single one of you guys
are. Come on.
So let's develop that heart of generosity so that we can help build a legacy in this church, in
Amen.
Your families.
Amen. Would you stand now so that we can all pray together? And if you wouldn't mind, just extend your hand to heaven as a sign of surrender to the good God that we serve. Heavenly Father, God, we come before you right now. God, we are so thankful that you are a generous, loving Father. And God, we're so grateful that you're a generational God. Father, you are concerned about all of us as your kids, those that are in your family now and those that will come in the years down the road. Father, you're concerned about it all. So, Father God, will you take what we are bringing and will you bless it and multiply it as only you can? Father God, I'm praying that you impress upon our hearts how to be generous. Show us, God, show us how to be generous and show us how to develop a legacy mindset. We love you, God. We thank you. And we give all of this to you, believing that you're going to do what you say you will do, because you are faithful. And we say that in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.